because we love you, Lord, and we can't have enough of you. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen.
Amen.
All right, guys. We've been talking about gifts, spiritual gifts, and trying to find our purpose, how God designed us, because your design will always lead to your destiny. There's not a body here that God didn't create with a purpose. And then God decided when you got saved, he gave you his gifts inside of you. Now, today I want to talk about, you know, this is interesting because every now and then I may have a direction of where I'm going, where I feel I'm going, and then in terms of preparing the top message and stuff. And this happened yesterday because I had my message ready, and Saturday morning, before I even started praying, God began speaking to me. I was laying in bed and I was trying to get up, and the Lord began to give me what I'm about to share with you. Right before I, God is amazing, because I didn't have to pray, but I just got up and words began coming to my spirit. I pulled out my phone and began recording it. And so here's the message. So that happened because I believe some people praying for me. And that's why that stuff happened. Not because I'm special, but some people praying for me. So that's what's happening. So I'm going to share what I have for us today. When we talk about gifts, I want to talk about a different, I want to come at a different angle for you to understand why God puts gifts in us. And it's the love behind it. And that's what I want to expound on this morning. You see, when you get hired at a job, and you get, say, Rico just testified about a job. So they say, okay, they give you a job. They're taking in consideration your skill set, your experience, and say, well, because of the skill set, your experience, we are going to give you this job. And when they give you that job, they're going to compensate you while you do that job. And you're going to be motivated to go there Monday through Friday because you get compensated. And you get compensated so you can live a comfortable life, keep the roof over your head, foot on the table. We understand the whole thing, right? But you see, they're compensating you based on your skill set or your experience or your education. But all that, you had to earn it. You had to work for it. You had to put in the time. You had to put in the hours to gain the training, and yet you had to put up with traffic and people and all that. The whole point, you had to earn it. Got it? And then you now get the job based on what you had to earn, and now you get compensated. Now, I want you to think about God's way of doing this. Now, that's man's way of doing things. God's way, he says, now I want us to do it backwards. So God is going to compensate us based on our works or what we did, right? Right? Are you following? But what we did, we had the ability to do what we did, not because we earned it, but because he put the ability, the gifting, and the talents in us to do what in the first place is going to reward us, but we never had to earn it. Does that make sense? Well, with man, they will compensate you for what you do, but you had to earn it. God compensates you for what you do for his kingdom, but you never had to earn it. You only had to discover it because he already put it inside of you. Now you have to discover it because God says, I love you so much. Now, what God has given us, it's the love of God. I believe if you gain a grasp of this, will totally just paralyze your mind. I want you to think about the love of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, that you may have power or the ability or the potential, okay, together with all the Lord's holy people. So that means the body of Christ. That means you can't isolate yourself. You can't do life alone. You got to be with believers in a body. Got it? To grasp How what? How wide? How long? How high? And how deep is the love of God? So he's saying my life is so multidimensional. That it's not just high, but it's also long. And it's not just long, but it's also deep. And it's not just deep, but it's just broad. That's my love. And says, the love of God is so deep. I mean, imagine God says, you know, I love you and I give my son to die on the cross for you to give you eternal life. But look, I just don't want to give you eternal life only because I've got so much to give you. There's abundance, there's plenty. In order for me to give you what I want to give you, more than eternal life, guess what? I'm going to put abilities, gifts, and potentials inside of you that when you discover them, then you can do so you give me the right to be able to reward you.
Amen.
I'm going to keep working on it because you're not there yet. I'm going to keep working on it. Now, these rewards that God talks about, the Bible describes them in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but it is written, right? Read that with me. It says, what? No eye. Everybody, what? No eye has seen. Now think about that. No eye. Not even the most wealthiest man in the world that has the money to see anything they want to see, that has the money to buy anything they want to buy. Not even the billionaires of this world. No man. Now think about that. Is this exciting you? What no eye has seen, no ear heard.
Amen.
Now think about that for a second.
Amen.
No ear heard, no the heart of a man imagined. So, it doesn't matter how a daydreamer you are or how great you are, even if you have a gift of daydreaming and imagining things, you have never had this chance. You can never get to this level.
Wow.
What God has prepared for those. Now, is it for everyone? No. Is it for everyone that goes to church? No. Is it for everyone that says I'm a Christian? No. It's for those who love Him. Now I want you to think about that. He says, look, man, I got goodness. I got plenty. What eye has not seen, ear has heard, nor had a man perceived. I have this stuff. That's why he says that you may know the depth, the height, the length, and the breadth of my love.
Yes.
Because I have so much love that I don't just want to give you eternal life, but I want to put gifts and abilities in you so that you may have access to what I have prepared for those that love me.
Yes.
When we started this series, I said, eternal life is free, but the rewards of God's kingdom are not free. They are not. It's for those. When the Bible says those, I want to be among them. I don't know about you, but when I hear those, I want to be part of those. This is not for everybody. And I got to be honest with you and tell you how I see it. Look at what the Bible says in Psalms 31 verse 19. Watch this. How abundant. Think about that. How abundant are the good things of goodness that you have stored up for everybody? No. For everybody that says I'm saved? No. For everybody that goes to church? No. For those who fear you, respectively reverence you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those. Think about that. On those. Not everybody, but those who take refuge in you. Those that have said, God is my refuge. Those that have said, God is my security. Those that have said, God is my all in all. Those that have said he's all that to me, those who have said he is priority, those who say he's number one. It's not for everybody that says I'm a Christian. You got to get this very clear. It's for those that have put him where he belongs and put him on the pedestal and I have decided to choose to be less by him magnified and glorified. Those who are not going after the pleasures of this life but are going after the presence of God. It's for those. For those, friends, it's for those. It's not for everybody, but those that say it's not just about trying to get what the world is offering me. I want what the Word is offering me. Those that put God first and not running after money, but they're running after God. Those who are not saying, God, I fit you in when I can, but those who say, God, you're everything to me. You understand what I'm saying? It's for those. You have to understand this morning that what God has stored in heaven, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has heart perceived. That's all his love, but it's not for everybody. And you have to make a choice that do I want to be part of those? Or will I just be okay going in? He says for those. And today, our churches are filled with people that God is only a convenience. When it becomes inconvenient, they're like, I'm out. I'll do it later. Or I'll go later. When he's not priority, when you can't take a stand for what you believe, when you can't take a stand to let the world know that this is your standard is God's word, is Jesus, you believe it, and that's how you live it, no matter what, lose money, lose a job, lose whatever, I'm not changing because this is all my life is all about Jesus.
Amen.
Those. See, we read in the Bible people that gave up their lives for this Jesus. And we have people today that won't give up a bed or give up a job or give up overtime.
Amen.
That's what it goes. For those.
Amen.
Look at what James chapter 1 verse 2 says. Be blessed is the one. Not everybody.
Yes.
The one who perseveres under trial. Because why did I say persevere? Because most people, when trials come, they quit. They don't persevere. He said, blessed are those who persevere under trial. Because having stood the test, that person, again, you see how specific he is?
Yes.
He's not saying everyone. He's not saying everyone that goes to church. He's not saying every Christian. He doesn't say everyone who answered the prayer. To that person, will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to what? To those. Maybe I should call this message to those. That should be the title of this message. To those. To those who love him.
Yes,
I want you to understand that. You see, the crown of life. I don't think that everybody that's going to heaven is going to have a crown of life. Because going to heaven is all based on you accepting Jesus. It's a free gift. You don't have to earn it. We go to heaven because we accepted Jesus. We've given him our lives.
Yes.
But the rewards are not free.
Amen.
So not everybody in heaven is going to have a crown of life.
Ooh.
Or the things that God has stored for those that love him. But those who persevere and the trial, persevere. You know, I tell you, I've met people have come to this church and maybe I call them out and say, you know, I'm not in agreement with that. I can't be part of that. This is what you need to do for me to be part of that. I cannot do that because it doesn't line up with the word. Well, they get upset. And like, I'm going to go find me another church because I don't like what you're saying. Because they can't persevere. I had someone come here. He's like, I used to lead worship over here and this and that. And And I came in disagreement with the pastor. I don't like what the pastor's doing and this and that. But I can help. I said, like, well, why don't you go and fix it with the pastor first where you came from? Well, they're like, I'm out. I don't like what you're saying. Because people cannot persevere. Today, people switch churches like they switch. As long as I don't like what you're telling me. I don't like. I understand sometimes, you know, you may have to because there are other things that are out of order. You know, because truth of the matter is sometimes churches things are out of order.
Yes, yes.
You know, the pastor is messing around and everything is mess. And, you know, you can justify that. But don't move church because it's not meeting you. Self-driven. Does that make sense? It's all about you. It's the Bible says the people who endure, stand the test. It says to those he will give. Now the crown of life, friends. Can you go to heaven without a crown? Yes. But is everybody going to get it? No. Because, for instance, I want you to think about it. If you're God, imagine you're God. Now you have to see some of these people that claim to be your followers in the world. And one of them stands before you. For instance, he spent 1 year, he spent $2,500 paying Comcast for cable that he only watched 2 hours a day. And another one stands before you, maybe didn't do that, but was faithful to your kingdom by tithing. And 1 year, he just, at least faithfully, he tithed $2,500. When you're God, who do you reward?
Yes.
What would you do if you're God? Would you reward them the same? Would you kick him out of heaven because he never tithed? No. He'll still come to heaven, but you said money was an indicator of where your heart was.
Yes.
My kingdom wasn't a priority to you. Because you'd rather spend thousands of dollars in your cable company more than my cause and my kingdom. So why would you want me to reward you like that person? Does that make sense? You put yourself in as that's why it's to those. It's not for everybody. You can still go to heaven even if you never sought God and used your gifts and talents. But you're not going to expect the rewards of his kingdom. What eye has not seen, ear heard, heart perceived. Unless you loved him enough more than the pleasures of this life.
Amen.
This is what the Bible says in Revelation 22 verse 12. It says, look, I am coming quickly.
Yes.
Now, if you're watching the events of this world, you know he's coming quickly. We had a prayer meeting last Friday or 2 Fridays ago. And I heard of something that I didn't know. I heard that there's a company, is it Tennessee? Did you share that? Was it Tennessee? Where?
Wisconsin.
Where now they put a chip in your hands.
Yes.
And you can use a chip. The doors open. You use the chip and you scan your hand.
Yes.
And you get stuff from, you buy food, you buy everything. You get paid. You know, everything is in the chip. You don't have to carry a wallet. If you read your Bible, you know that ain't strange.
Yes.
So God says, look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. Now, this is not punishment. He says reward. So that this scripture should not make you afraid. Oh, man, he's going to come with my butt. No, ain't about that. He's not coming with punishment. He's coming with what? Reward. And I will give to each person according to what?
What
they dreamed of. What they talked about.
What they have
done. What they did. Remember, whenever your payday at your job is, they're going to reward you according to what you did, the hours you put in. But you had to earn that ability. But God is the only one who rewards you over stuff you never had to earn. Think about that. He's like, I want to bless you. In order for me to bless you, I'm going to put gifts and talents in you that'll give me a right to reward you. Because God says, this is all for you. My love is so deep. I just want to bless you. Does that make sense? He's like, I want to bless you, so I'm going to put rewards inside of you that if you discover them, use them, I'll be able to reward you because I'm not a respected person. The reason why it's according to what they've done, because God is not a respecter of persons. So when we stand before him, you don't say, God, why didn't you give Jennifer all that and me, you gave me only this? God says, let's see what Jennifer did and let's see what you did. He's not a respecter of persons. He wants to bless everybody according to what you did with what he put inside of you. That's why these gifts and talents matter, to understand your spiritual gifts and be able to use them and be able to flow in that, because that's how comfortable you are. You see, I want to give you a quick story about me, because when I was just a young man coming up in church, learning about Jesus, anybody ever grew up in a Pentecostal church and stuff? I did. So guess what? We had Sunday church in the morning and we had Sunday night. Believe me or not, folk came back at night. So I didn't live far from church. So we go Sunday morning, and I had this one little one apartment, and I had the place full every Sunday. People were full. Based on my natural design of being an extrovert and my spiritual gift of wanting to be around people, taking care of people, was a pastoral gift, but I wasn't in the office of a pastor. But the gift was there, but I didn't know. But I was always wanting people to come over. So people would always come up. So my little one-bedroom apartment was full. People on beds, on standing here, on the chair, on the floor, would eat. And would spend there 5-6 hours before Sunday night service. Then when Sunday night, we all now go to church and then do it all over again and go to work the next day. So that happened. My place was totally full. The reason that was happening, because my gift was allowing that to happen. Amen. Okay, but I didn't know. But then when I began to grow and develop in my walk with God, and then I realized, oh, there was more. And people began to speak into my life and say, we noticed this gift on you. God has called you to do this. I'm like, oh, okay. But then I began resisting it. Because I'm telling you, being a pastor wasn't my first choice. You know, something I wanted to be in my own. Because just for kind of reasons, flesh reasons. Flesh reason, because pastor has its own challenges, and I didn't want to deal with them. It was a lot easier to be a Christian without being a pastor. So, fighting that, I began rejecting the office and fighting it. And when I was resisting, I was doing what exactly the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. What does it say? Do not neglect your gift. And I was doing that. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy, that people prophesied and spoke to you. So then, the reason I was fighting this, I did not understand the depth of his love. Now, making complete circle. I did not understand the depth of his love. I did not understand that this is love. That there was love behind the gifting, there was love behind the ability that I was trying to neglect and walk away from. I thought that God was trying to burden my life. I thought that God was trying to inconvenience my life. For kind of reason, flesh reasons, I was running away from God's call because I did not understand the love that was behind the gift. I did not understand that God had given me an opportunity to allow him to work through me so that he can reward me as a just God. That if I obeyed and did what he wanted me to do, as a just God, he says, I reward you according to what you did. But for my own flesh reasons, I thought this is going to be a hassle, an inconvenience, a burden in my life. Yet God says, I'm not trying to burden your life. I'm trying to let you allow me so that I could have a justifiable reason to bless you with the very things that I've said in my word. It was lack of understanding on my part. But you see, now when I understand that his love is deep,
yes,
high, long, broad, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has heart perceived the goodness of the things that he's prepared for those who love him. And then I realize that, hey, because of that, he's now put gifts in us and talents to allow us to use them for his glory, for his name, for his sake, so that you give him a right, because God is a just God. When he stands in heaven to reward people, he doesn't want to come off as a respecter of persons. He want to come off as a just God, so that he's rewarding every man according to what they did. But in the first place, you couldn't do what you did unless he gave you the gift and the ability to do that which you did.
Yes.
So, as you listen to this, if you're like, man, I understand it's love, and I want to persevere, I want to serve God. If you say, you know what, I want to be rewarded in eternity, I want to see reward, I want to really realize that God has plenty to give, and the only way to get them to me is for me to give him a justifiable right for him to do that. And if you want to take this seriously to say, you know what, I want to know how God designed. I want to know my gifts and my talents. I want to know how he made me so that I can use my spiritual gifts to advance his kingdom. I want you to take away this scripture from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. This is awesome. Look at it. It says, for God is not unjust. Did I say just? Because I've been telling you, he's a just God. You have to give him a legal right to bless you in his kingdom. He's not unjust so as to forget. You know, it hurts when people forget you, doesn't it? Right? Anybody ever been forgotten? Don't you get mad when people forget you? They're like, I did all that, and I was there in the midnight hour. Right? But look, he says, forget what? Your work. Your work. What you're doing for God. What you're doing for his name. Are you doing anything to advance his name? Are you doing anything for his glory? Are you helping anybody? Are you encouraging anybody? Are you ministering to anybody? Are you praying for anybody? Are you touching anyone's life?
Yes, Lord.
This is not for everybody. For those, will you be part of those?
Yes.
Or do you just want to be part of you?
Come on, Pastor.
To forget your work and the lab that you have shown for his name. You see that? His kingdom.
Yes, yes, yes.
His name. What are you doing for his kingdom? For his name is serving the saints. Remember when we started this, we said, you cannot serve God and not serve people. You serve God by serving people.
Yes.
His people. But it says, in serving the saints, that means the body. You can't say, well, you know, this morning I don't feel it. I'm going to stay in my bed. Ain't no saints in your bed. You got to go where the saints are. And the saints in a body. In a church. You can't stop. Right? So you got to think about that, because, you know, we're a place where people have to feel everything. You know what I'm saying? They wake up Sunday morning, what do I feel today? You know what I'm saying? But he says, in serving the saints. So if you want to serve God, serve his people.
Yes.
Got it?
Yes.
Look at us. Now, he's not going to forget. Isn't that so awesome? You may forget what you did for God. You may forget what you do for others. You may forget how you help and bless other people. That's fine. You can forget. But he doesn't. He doesn't forget. And I love that, man. You'll be in heaven one day and God's running like, I'm running for this, for that. You're like, God, when did I do that? Like, let me roll the film. They show you like, man, I forgot that 10 years ago that I ever did that. God says, I don't forget.
Yes.
Man, this is awesome. Verse 11, and we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope. God says, I want you to be assuredly full. Don't be guessing what your eternity looks like. Just be, have the assurance until the end. Don't just slack off. Just stay on it. There are going to be down moments, but stay on it. There are going to be ups, stay on it. It's going to be hard sometimes, but stay on it. Because I will not forget. Because when you decide to serve God, it becomes uncomfortable sometimes, inconveniencing sometimes, unpleasurable sometimes, frustrating sometimes.
Yes.
But in all that, he says, stay faithful to the end.
Yes.
Man, this is awesome scriptures. I didn't write this. Stay to the end. Stay to the end. Don't quit. Watch this. Have the full assurance, because eternal life, you don't want to mess around with whether yay or nay, I mean, I'm out, or do I have anything or not, because you don't get a second chance. You don't get a second chance to serve God once we put you in a box and put you in the ground and put your body. You don't get a second chance to live for Jesus and put him number one and live for his glory. You get it now. Look at verse 12, so that you may not be what? The Bible won't say that if you never got to be tempted to be sluggish. But imitators of those through faith, those, and look at the word those. This message should have been called those. That's the title, take it today. What did the pastor preach about? He preached about those. I was stretched today, it was about those. Those who through faith, in patience, inherit the promises. Do you think every Christian is going to inherit promises? No. Even men, just because you're a biological child, they don't guarantee inheritance. Warren Buffett, one of the most rich guy, one of the wildest richest guy, he said, none of his kids getting his money. Right? So if a man can do that, what makes people think, oh, I'm saved, I answered the prayer, I went forward, I'm a Christian, yeah, I'm good. No. There's some people who are going to go to heaven but never inherit the promises of God. Inheritance is earned. It's earned. And I want to make sure we understand this. Friends, you know, I thank God, you know, I get the pleasure of serving you and serving this church. We may not be a mega church, but I know that this is a genuine group of people. There are people in this place that will do, that they'll go a distance for each other. There's love that is genuine in this place. And that, you know, there are people that come to this church, they come maybe once every 3 months. And then they go and then they come back in 3 months. But I always notice how you people love them. They just show up and you'll love them like they've been coming here forever and you just love them and they're gone. And then they come back 3 months and you still like them and love them. And I like the fact there's no judgment. There's that love. There's that grace. The people are like, man, we just love to see you. Thank you for being here today. And they minister to one another. You see, and it's just wonderful. And that, I get the pleasure to serve you. But I know that as I serve you, I'm serving God. But as we finish today, I want you to see in serving the saints. I want you to think about this. Every time you come to church, you shouldn't be coming to be served.
Well,
you should be coming to serve others.
Amen.
Every time you spend a minute to talk to somebody, they didn't love you. Give a word of encouragement. Anytime you just tap someone on the back, maybe that's all they needed. somebody to tap them on the back. How you make others feel. Your presence and how you bless each other. That's ministry. So Sunday morning when you come into church, think about, man, I'm good to go now and serve somebody. I'm going to miss someone. I'm going to pray with someone. I'm going to help somebody. You know, this morning, I was having a little thing in my leg over here that when I stand, it just happened this morning, just like that. When I did this morning, until you said, hey, is that the Holy Ghost? I'm like, no. It's just my leg, you know. But then what happened? You know, Jesse and Sherry and Mommy, they all came and prayed for me. It's ministering to one another. It's serving each other. Does that make sense? That's why, friends, it's important for you to know your gifts and talents because it will give God a legal right to bless you in his kingdom. Can I get an amen? Okay. I want one or two volunteers, if you've done your assessment, your spiritual assessment,